A long list, and you should have some pretty high numbers. Got a lot of blessings right here this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Do you know anyone who is very easily distracted? Thanks. Thanks, John. I mean, that is so helpful. I don't want to mention any names, but there is at least one individual in my home that fits that bill really nicely. And it's not me, John, believe it or not. It's a female in our home, so that helps you probably. She has a son that's following her footsteps really well in that department. But you know what I mean with someone by easily distracted? You know, you're having a conversation, you're talking, squirrel! You know. Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev used to tell the time when there was a wave of petty theft in the Soviet Union. To curtail this, the authorities put up guards around the factories. At one timber works in Leningrad, the guard knew the workers in the factory very well. The first evening, out came Peter Petrovich with a wheelbarrow, and on the wheelbarrow, a great bulky sack with a suspicious-looking object inside. "All right, Petrovich," said the guard, "what do you got in there?" "Oh, just sawdust and shavings," Petrovich replied. "Come on," the guard said, "I wasn't born yesterday. Tip it out." And out came nothing but sawdust and shavings. So he was allowed to put it all back again and go home. When the same thing happened every night of the week, the guard became frustrated. Finally, his curiosity overcame his frustration. "Petrovich," he said, "I know you. Tell me what you're smuggling out of here, and I'll let you go." And Petrovich says, "Wheelbarrows, my friend, wheelbarrows." That's a smart guy. Spiritually speaking, being distracted is dangerous. We as humans have this tendency to become distracted or sidetracked with things that pertain to us, and that's normal. We focus too much on things that are in our lives that don't really matter eternally. Do you know what I mean? Then we lose sight of what matters most. Jesus gives a very good illustration of this in our scripture reading. So join with me in Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to read 1 through 16, and I think you'll really recognize this as we get into it. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing idle here all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. And when the first came, they supposed they would receive more, and likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen.'" So to start out this morning, I want to say this message might feel a little bit disjointed. One of the things they teach you in Bible college or seminary is that you need to use alliteration. And if you don't know what alliteration is, basically it's your points or outline needs to rhyme or sound similar so people can pick up when you're changing points in your outline. Something similar, something that would fall into that would be, say, an outline that 4 points would be confronted by God, convicted by God, converted by God, and then commissioned by God. See, it all runs together and just sounds nice. Or maybe one that says, He created us, He knows us, He loves us. It just sounds good to the ear. And so I'll be honest, sometimes I get hung up on having a fancy alliterated outline because it sounds better, when it really doesn't matter if you're sharing truth. And I thought it was kind of interesting because this is one of those times and I'm preaching on being distracted about things that don't really matter. So, there's a lot of good truths to be found in this passage, and I'll try to break them up into a sort of outline. But to be clear, if this sermon was graded homiletically, it probably wouldn't pass. So I first want to talk about missing the point. And I know for myself, it's very easy to read this story particularly and think it's about an employer and employees. It's not. Jesus uses parables or word phrases to get these points across, and I'm so glad he did because I like word pictures. If you look at the first verse, he tells you right away, it's about the kingdom of heaven. It's not about a landowner and servants. And I'll get to the actual point of that parable in a bit, but I want to talk about this subject for a minute. How many times do we miss the big picture of what God is doing because we're distracted with stuff that's directly affecting us right now? Current situations, it's just COVID's the biggest one. All kinds of stuff has happened with COVID. It affects us. It causes inconveniences. It frustrates us. And we come distracted with all that stuff. When I wonder, could we focus on what maybe God's trying to do through it? Maybe he's softening hearts. Maybe he's making people more tender towards him. Maybe we're failing to see the opportunities to talk to them about God. More on that later. The racism and violence. You think about all that. I mean, that's really prevalent. Are we seeing all the effects and the consequences of it, or are we seeing the problem and how people need Jesus? And I could go on for a while here, different things we're facing in today's society, climate, but we need to be observant, not miss the point of what Jesus is trying to do, something serious he's trying to get across to us. But we get sidetracked. We miss the point of what he's actually trying to accomplish. So that's kind of what I thought when I started this study. You know, missing the point of this whole story, it's really easy to do because we focus too much on the physical aspect, you know, hiring and working and all that. Then I want to talk a little bit about self-absorption. Man, my tongue's tied up. This ties in with this first point a little bit. But notice the theme in this story that Jesus tells. The people who were hired first were jealous. They're saying it wasn't fair. The landowner gave more to, or gave the same to those that didn't work any longer. In fact, they worked a lot shorter. They were so absorbed with what was fair. And bear in mind again, we don't want to get distracted with the point of the story because we're getting distracted with that whole argument. It's about the kingdom of heaven. And how does this apply to us? Well, we get so bent out of shape over losing conveniences or freedoms when God might be working behind the scenes to do something in us, to use us in some way, give others opportunities for their heart to be softened towards him. And I'm not saying that everything that's happening today is correct, right, ethical, politically, whatever. But I am saying, are we so focused on how it's affecting us and being so self-absorbed that we're missing the fact that God wants us to be used somehow to help these hurting people that are facing the same things but don't know how to deal with them. Our main calling as Christians is to build the kingdom of heaven, and if we're distracted with our own stuff so much, how in the world are we going to have time to fulfill that calling? We need to remember to ask Jesus, don't let me be so self-focused and self-absorbed that I miss what you might be trying to do in my life through me. And then I want to look at a little bit of comparison. So the landowner in this story went at different times of the day sort of on the odd hours, but you can see he skipped 3 hours there at one point. And he hired people and said, we'll give you an honest day's wage for it. Each individual did as they're asked, and the landowner gave them all the same amount. And right away, the ones that worked the longest complained. They said it wasn't fair. They had to work all day to get the same as the ones that worked only an hour. And the landowner says, well, that's what you agreed on. How is that not being fair? Why are you complaining? I gave you what you were promised. And as humans reading that story, it's easy to become a little bit upset because, yeah, that wasn't fair. You know, the guys that worked longer should have got more. But we're missing the point again. It's not about an honest day's work. It's about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is talking about those that have been Christian all their lives compared to someone who's just brand new in the faith. God promises humanity his grace, and it isn't dependent on what a person does or doesn't do. We just have to accept it. And so for those of you that have been a Christian 30, 40, 50 years or whatever, are you more worthy of his grace than someone who just became a Christian? His grace is freely bestowed on anyone who believes on it, and somehow we quickly but falsely think it's based on years of service or personal merits. Which leads me to the next item, and that's presumption. In our story of the landowner and the workers, the workers that were hired first correctly understood their wages. What they didn't understand was that all the newcomers came to work for the same wage. They just assumed that these newcomers were hired for less. They presumed that. They obviously didn't deserve the same wage they came later, right? I mean, that just makes sense. Again, we as humans would say, that's a fair point. But again, it's not about our earthly lives. It's about heaven. Would you agree with me that there are a lot of presumptions going on in the church world today? Christians who have been Christians all their lives just presume that they're going to have some sort of special treatment because of their length of service. And that's not meant to be a critical statement at all, because I feel like I could easily fall into that camp. It's kind of like a subconscious assumption. It's almost like seniority. You know, we've been a Christian a long time, so we just naturally feel superior to someone who's not a Christian a long time. It just happens in our heads, and we don't even, at least for me, don't even realize it. And while there is truth to the fact that we might have more knowledge about spiritual things simply because we've been a Christian a longer time, the false assumption is that we're deserving of God's grace more because of our length of service. And I literally had a conversation one time with someone who truly believed that they were going to get a better reward in heaven based on the fact of their spirituality. And they told me, I'm obeying Scripture more closely, so I should have a better reward. And they were very pious and pumped up when they said it. And it was very scary conversation. The workers in this story wrongly assumed that the newcomers were going to receive a lesser wage because they weren't there as long. And they didn't deserve more. And how many times do we as mature Christians, I'll say, look at others that way? We might not intentionally do so. We might not even say it publicly. But what is our thought process like? I don't know if this pricked you or not. But I know for myself, I need to ask the Lord to help me not to presume upon his grace. It's given freely with no limits. I'm no more worthy than the next person. And then I want to switch gears a little bit. And wow, you guys are going to get out early today. Lots of complaints and groans over that, I'm sure. Then I want to switch gears and think, just I noticed something at the end of this passage. And I want to talk about missed opportunities. Something really caught my attention. If you go through this passage, you'll see he went the first hour, he went the third, he went the sixth, he went the ninth, whatever that period was. But every few hours he went to the marketplace. In the 11th hour especially, he noticed people were still standing idle. But I want you to notice the length of day here. The 11th hour, these people were putting in long days, at least the ones that worked all day did. And he asked them on the 11th hour, Why are you just standing around? Well, no one hired us. To me, it sounded like these latecomers, these hirees, so to speak, weren't very proactive in finding a job. Does that sound familiar today? So there's several comparisons I want to make here. First, there are so many people who are given many opportunities to accept this amazing gift of grace and be part of the family of God, but they don't. They wait. They have plenty of time. I'm young. I have plenty of time. I'm sure you've all heard those stories. Granted, in some cases it works out and they become a Christian late in life and they die a Christian and go to heaven. But some cases it doesn't, and sadly they miss out completely. It's a sad story. I don't know how many of you have been a part of a story like that or experienced it, or maybe even you yourself are a story like that. I don't know for sure. But in our text, it appears that these latecomers were there the whole time. They were just standing around. Why didn't they take the opportunity to be hired right away with that first group? Maybe they were distracted with all the noise and the bustle. The marketplace is probably busy. Maybe they were lazy, which could be too. Either way, they missed it until the very end, the last hour, they had a chance to work. And I just want to say to you, I don't know for sure, but maybe there's someone here that's in that category. I got time. Don't wait. Make your ticket. Get it stamped for the kingdom of heaven before it's too late. Don't wait to the last hour, because we're not guaranteed another minute. I mean, there are people that have instant deaths for whatever reason, tragically, and are ushered into eternity and aren't prepared for it. I don't want that to be my story. So take the chance to be a part of the kingdom of heaven while you can. But then there's another aspect I want to examine here. And while it's not specifically stated that Jesus is metaphorically represented as the landowner, I think it's easy to assume that would be the case. It's not specifically stated. And just for the sake of this point, if I'm not taking advantage or taking liberties with Scripture, I want to say that the landowner is just another believer in Christ. Okay? One of us. Every time he went to the marketplace, he hired more people. But yet again, we see no indication that the people he just hired had just arrived. It seems like they were always there. Why did he keep going back? Why didn't he just hire the whole group of people right at the beginning, get them back to his vineyard, and get a whole lot more work done? It would have seemed a whole lot smarter, right? And where I see in our world today, there's a very big comparison here for missed opportunities. We as Christians are to be salt and light to the world. And I think what we all would say, all we do that as the opportunity arises. But are we waiting for those opportunities to come to us, or are we seeking them out? It almost would seem like this landowner just sort of walked up, waited for people to seek him out. If he didn't find anybody, he came back later. And I think we can take a lesson from this story and see that if we are to make an impact for God's kingdom, we need to be more proactive. Instead of waiting for opportunities to come to us, and that's okay, and God does do that, we need to seek them out. If the landowner had hired that whole group initially, think about the success he would have had in his fields. Financial success, too, because he wouldn't have had to pay. He still paid the same amount out, but got a whole lot more work done. And think about the impact for God's kingdom if we seek out ways to share his love proactively instead of waiting for those opportunities to present themselves. Would the population of heaven be increased because we sought opportunities instead of waiting for them to come out to us or missing them altogether? That's a serious question to ponder. So as I told you, the pattern of this, the outline, whatever, certainly was a little bit different, but I hope you're able to follow along and catch the truths behind this story, because even though some of the points were random, there's some powerful wealths of learning to be gotten out of this parable. The question is, we as Christians, Are we asking ourselves, am I too distracted with what's going on? Am I missing the point? Are we asking God to help us keep our focus and calling as Christians? There's a story involving Yogi Berra, the well-known catcher for the New York Yankees, and Hank Aaron, who at that time was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves. The teams were playing in the World Series, and as usual, Yogi was keeping up his ceaseless chatter. Apparently, when a batter would come up to hit, he would torment them and try to get him distracted. He was intending to pep his teammates up on the one hand and distract the Milwaukee batters on the other. As Aaron came to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him by saying, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark." Aaron didn't say anything. And when the next pitch came, he hit it into the left field bleachers. After rounding the bases and tagging up at home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, "I didn't come here to read." What do we set out in our Christian life to accomplish? Well, obviously, we need to finish this race ourselves. But we also need to take as many with us as possible. Let's not let Satan play the part that Yogi Berra did. Now, I'm not saying comparing there, but distract us, to cause us to lose focus of that goal. Satan comes and tries to get us distracted with something that doesn't matter in light of eternity. You can tell him, "I didn't come here to do that. I came here to win souls. I came here to help grow the kingdom of heaven." And I really hope that's your intention. I hope that's your heart's desire. I want heaven to be as full as can possibly be, and I want it to be said that I did my part to make it that way through God's help, and I hope that's your desire as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your scripture, for your words, for the stories you leave us that can teach us how to help get us to heaven, how we can help in our Christian walk, and how we can take others with us. Help us to be focused on what is important. Help us not to allow Satan to distract us with things that aren't going to matter in light of eternity. Help us to keep you in our sight so we can follow you exactly the way we should. Thank you and praise you, and give us all a good afternoon, and bring us back this evening, those that are able, and enjoy in time of fellowship again. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you for coming.